Our gospel lesson is from John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. A certain man, Lazarus, was ill.
He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This was the Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, saying, "Lord, the one whom you love is ill." So when he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness isn't fatal. It's for the glory of God, so that God's Son can be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. When he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was. After 2 days, he said to his disciples, "Let's return to Judea again." The disciples replied, "Rabbi, the Jewish leaders and the opposition want to stone you, but you want to go back?" Jesus answered, "Aren't there 12 hours in the day? Whoever walks in the day doesn't stumble because they see the light of the world. But whoever walks in the night does stumble because the light isn't in them." He continued, "Our friend Lazarus is sleeping, but I am going in order to wake him up." The disciples said, "Lord, if he's sleeping, he'll get well." They thought Jesus meant that Lazarus was in a deep sleep, but Jesus had spoken about Lazarus's death. Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died. For your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there so that you can believe. Let's go to him." Then Thomas, the one called Didymus, said to the other disciples, "Let us go too, so that we may die with Jesus." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was a little less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. Many of the Jewish neighbors had come to comfort Martha and Mary after their brother's death. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, while Mary remained in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha replied, "I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die, and everyone who believes in me and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She replied, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, God's Son, the one who is coming into the world." After she said this, she went and spoke privately to her sister Mary. "The teacher is here, and he's calling for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to Jesus. He hadn't entered the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jewish neighbors who were comforting Mary in the house saw her get up quickly and leave, they followed her. They assumed that she was going to mourn at the tomb. When Mary arrived where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her crying, and the Jewish neighbors who had come with her crying also, he was deeply disturbed and troubled. He asked, "Where have you laid him?" They replied, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to cry. The Jewish neighbors said, "See how much he loved him." But some of them said, "He healed the eyes of the man born blind. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was deeply disturbed again when he came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone covered the entrance. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, "Lord, the smell will be awful. He's been dead 4 days." Jesus replied, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see God's glory?" So they removed the stone. Jesus looked up and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. I know you always hear me. I say this for the benefit of the crowd standing here, so that they will believe that you sent me." Having said this, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his feet bound and his hands tied, and his face covered with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Here's a trivia question for you. What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. In the King James Version, the shortest verse in the Bible is John 11:35, Jesus wept. The Common English Bible, which we just read, doubles the word count to four with Jesus began to cry, which arguably more accurately reflects the verb tense in Greek, but it's not as poetic, and it's definitely not as poignant. As a friend and mentor of mine, a Presbyterian pastor, now retired, once put it, this is an instance where the 400-year-old King James Version gets it exactly right. Only two words are needed. Jesus wept. Because you see, those two words tell an entire story. We understand, we think, why Jesus wept. Jesus lived our human life and knew our joys and sorrows. And what greater sorrow that we all share than the sorrow of death? It touches all of us. The happy puppy escapes and runs into the street to a very unhappy ending. The ancient 20-year-old cat who has accumulated most of those years sleeping on the couch doesn't wake up one day. Our neighbor down the street has a sudden heart attack and dies at the age of 49, leaving behind a family of five. We understand why Jesus wept, because Jesus lost a friend. What we don't understand is the delay. Why didn't Jesus try to help Lazarus when he first heard that Lazarus was ill? The delay is inexplicable, and it would seem inexcusable. Both Martha and Mary cry out to Jesus on account of that delay. They both say to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And we can hear the pain in those words. Anyone who has ever prayed for healing for a friend who is terminally ill, only to have that friend die anyway, knows the pain expressed in those words. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother, my sister, my mother, my father, my wife, my husband, my partner, my neighbor, my colleague, my friend would not have died." And we don't know why there's a delay. The gospel writer quotes Jesus telling the disciples that it's good that Lazarus has died so that they can believe, but that almost seems like a rationalization after the fact. If that was the case all along, then why did Jesus weep so intensely? What I do know is that Jesus does not rebuke Martha or Mary for confronting him with those words. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." At the very least, Jesus seems to understand why the delay was so excruciating to them. And he seems to understand the magnitude of their grief. But I don't know why Jesus delayed. What I do know is that you and I are living during that time of delay. We are living in the midst of all of our unanswered questions about death and dying and the power of death in our world. And it is at this moment that Jesus offers his word of promise to Mary and Martha and to all who trust. "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Now, isn't it interesting that Jesus says these words at this point in the story? Why didn't Jesus say these words like right after he had triumphantly raised Lazarus back to life. That might have added some more drama to the story. You know, why here instead? Each week when I'm preparing to preach, I often listen to a podcast called I Love to Tell the Story. And it's hosted by two of the professors who actually invented the narrative lectionary. They both teach at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. And in the discussion for this passage, one of them raised the question, why does Jesus say these words now, rather at the end than at the end of the story? And it seems very important for Jesus to offer these words of promise, this extravagant promise that I am the resurrection and the life, you can trust me, you can follow me into the next realm no matter what happens. Jesus voices it now, while Lazarus is still dead, while Lazarus is still in the tomb, so that perhaps we can hear these words of promise ourselves when our own loved ones are still dead, when we still have our own griefs, whether they are fresh or ancient. Jesus speaks those words of promise at that time, so that we might have something to hold on to, to trust, even when it's hard to trust that, but it's there. And Mary and Martha both seem to believe in the resurrection in the abstract, but it's not yet a comfort for them personally. They certainly don't expect Jesus to bring Lazarus back to life right away. And when Jesus does promise to open Lazarus's tomb, Martha interjects that her brother has already been dead 4 days. And in another example of the powerful and direct eloquence of the King James Version translation of this text, Martha is quite blunt. She says, "He stinketh." No platitudes about Lazarus passing away or being in a better place, but simply, "He stinketh." This is the power of death in full display. What happens to our bodies after we die? Well, unless the embalmer or the cremator intercedes fairly quickly, we stinketh. That's what happens to our bodies after we die. But juxtaposed against that stark reality of death are Jesus's words of promise, "I am the resurrection and the life." And as I said, these words are spoken to us now, in the midst of our own disappointment, in the midst of our grief about friends and loved ones who have died, in the midst of our anxieties about our own mortality, in the midst of our own disappointment about every delayed prayer that so far has not yet been answered according to our hopes. This is when Jesus speaks these words of promise. But that's not the only thing that Jesus does. Jesus also screams. Did you catch that detail in today's story? Jesus not only weeps, Jesus not only speaks words of promise, but Jesus screams. In the Common English Bible, it says that Jesus shouted out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Now, shouted out with a loud voice is closer than some translations, but it's not quite what the original Greek says. In the original Greek, Jesus screams. And I believe that Jesus finally screams out against the power of death and all of its manifestations. Jesus screams when the 2-year-old toddler drowns in the swimming pool. Jesus screams when the 30-year-old mother dies of cancer, leaving behind 2 little ones. Jesus screams when the young man of 25 dies of a heroin overdose after 6 tries at rehab, and everyone just knew that that last time would finally take. Jesus screams when the terrorists kidnap and murder. And Jesus screams when the civilian death toll rises exponentially. Jesus screams when people are stricken with AIDS or ALS or long COVID. Jesus screams when there's domestic violence and people lose their lives at the hands of those who are supposed to love them the most. And yes, Jesus screams as loud as he possibly can when a shooter walks onto a school campus and opens fire. Enough, enough, enough. And Jesus poured everything that he had into that scream. It takes a very loud scream to wake the dead. And maybe Jesus' scream will be loud enough to wake us up and motivate us to do more to protect our own children and all those who are vulnerable by our addiction to violence and our choosing to ignore that and easily available weaponry. Maybe it will be enough to wake us up. And that scream cost Jesus his life. He gave his life in order to undo the power of death. And the Gospel of John has this way of talking about Jesus' death on the cross as the moment when Jesus is glorified. It's almost as if Jesus were born to die. And yet, even in the Gospel of John, Jesus does not live life as someone whose only purpose is to die a martyr's death. Instead, Jesus loved and lived life to its fullest. His first sign in the Gospel of John was performed at a wedding. And Jesus loved elaborate celebrations with his friends and neighbors. And he loved his friends, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. It was as someone who loved life to its fullness that Jesus gave his life. And he did so so that you and I might have life and have it abundantly. In the meantime, let us hold on to that promise that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Let us hold on to the promise that Jesus is ready to speak life and resurrection into our present lives, in the here and now, in the midst of our grief and disappointment, even as he screams out against the power of death. All glory and praise be to our God. Amen.